Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. This week we hear from the young farmers, the ones that are away competing at the Northern Area competitions and also the Southern Young Farmers sheep shearing.
And I spoke to Tom Fairfax, who was visiting the island, to talk about and do some experiments with the soil around some of the fields on the island. Well, bit of a mixed bag again, but a decent spell of weather. I think a lot of farmers have took the chance to get a lot more of the silage and hay cut.
Yeah, I see around Peel there's a bit of hay lying down and it smells amazing when you're driving along the road there. It's just that time of year, June hay, you can't beat it. But like you say, the opportunity to get some more of the pit silage done, you've got to take it with two hands.
Yes, and it's just, we spoke about it last week, didn't we? The machinery that's involved in it now is incredible. But, you know, you can't do much about the weather, and that's one of the things that, you know, it's in the lap of the gods, as they say. But, you know, it's one of the things that farmers have to contend with, isn't it?
It really is, and we see a lot of people talking about, you know, global warming, climate change, embracing nature, we need to do more of this or less of that. And I think, you know, it's important that we understand how our farms work to get the best out of them, given the small windows of opportunity with the weather. But that said, you've been chatting to somebody that knows wholeheartedly to get nature and farming in balance.
Indeed. Well, FWAG, the Farm and Wildlife Advisory Group, the Isle of Man branch, invited a Northumberland farmer called Tom Fairfax over. And I caught up with them at Belig Farm in Jerby. And first of all, asked Tom what his role was coming to the island.
Well, I've been asked to come by Paul from FWAG to discuss ways that we can better harness the ground. The Isle of Man's an incredible place, and you've got some incredible soil here. And a lot of what we're trying to do is make more use of that and use the natural systems.
Now, you farm, I believe, in Northumberland, up that area. Obviously used to the soils and the area around there, but do you travel a lot around the various parts of the whole of the UK looking at different soils and finding out what they're doing with it and why maybe their crops are thriving in some places and not so much in the others?
Yes, I think, like all farmers, I think our biggest challenge in life is we spend our lives looking over other people's fences.
How have they got a better crop?
Yeah, how have they got a better crop? Oh, I like that. Ooh, lots of that sort of thinking. And that's great. And even on holiday, I suspect when my wonderful and long-suffering wife finally gets fed up with me, it'll probably be looking at other people's farms when I'm supposed to be on holiday. But yes, we do lots of things. The system that we're part of is really complex and it's really dynamic and it's very context specific. So different things happen in different places. And although in the world we're in at the moment there's a temptation to try and oversimplify things, the ground doesn't work like that. And it's different. It's soil, it's different aspects, it's different climates. That's the amazing thing about the Isle of Man, is that you've got this astonishing little microclimate here. It's quite a big microclimate, actually, but it's absolutely brilliant in the middle of the sea, and it does things slightly differently. So a lot of what we do here is we're looking and listening to the ground, and that's not just the soil, it's the things that are living on it, living in it, living over it, seeing how it's working, and then trying to harness that power to produce good food.
I seen a picture of you as a kid face down on the ground looking at the ground. Yeah. So, can you elaborate on this a bit more?
This is really cool. My father used to do this with my sister and I, and we now do it with a lot of the school kids and indeed some of the grown-ups who come and visit. In fact, we might have a go afterwards. The lovely thing is you lie down on the ground on a bit of grass, ideally a bit of as wild as you can get, but it works on any grass. And you look at what's in front of your nose. And for about 10 seconds, all you see is grass. And then you suddenly see what's living in it. And once you've seen that, you can't ever, ever unsee it. So you see all the little interactions, the little spiders, the insects, you see the blemishes on the grass, you see the different plants, all of this going on. And once you know it's there, It's always there. So, you know, if you're ever in a strange place or feeling lonely, go and lie down on the ground. People may look at you in a funny way, but you're never alone.
It's a funny thing, that, because people will be thinking it sounds a bit crazy, but I remember at secondary school in rural science, we had a square, probably a square yard back then, a square that we put on your piece of ground, and you had to write down what you seen in the ground. And I think maybe that sort of thing is lost nowadays.
I agree. I think we get served information from almost everywhere, and a lot of it's curated information. The lovely thing about the ground and the system that we're, of course, it's a system that we're in, we're part of, and we're also a product of. So we're quite well geared to looking at it and understanding it. It's all about observation, and it's about looking, and it's about seeing things. And I think that this is a skill that we're beginning to lose, because we're served with curated information.
Are we ruining the land at the moment?
I think it depends who you mean by we. I think there are some of the things that we as the mad monkey are doing which are having an adverse effect. Effectively, everything we do has an impact. And the key thing in life is to understand and own the impact, and do something about it if you can. I think a lot of ground, if you look at a lot of the conventionally farmed ground, isn't terribly biologically active. And that's one of the reasons we have to buy fertilizer, we have to buy herbicides, we have to buy chemistry to put on it to manage it, because whilst that's convenient, it suppresses the natural systems in the ground. The natural system will do a lot of that, and it can be productive. It doesn't need to be unproductive, but you need to take the time to transition the ground and create conditions whereby the ground can be effective.
Your home farm, I think, has been a fine example of that over a few generations, hasn't it?
Yes, well, my father actually moved up in the 1950s, and it had been fairly heavily farmed, and just after the Second World War, where a lot of the grassland was put under the plough, and it were quite thin ground. So we farmed it really hard, and we'd used up almost everything, if you like, the power of the ground. We'd used what it had, and we started seeing it getting difficult. It was costing more to produce the same yields. The ground was feeling thin. So after lots of research and looking at things, we went into this model where we start, we're regenerating the power of the ground. We're using biology, we're using natural systems, and we're engaging with the natural framework. And already, after 6 years, our yields are back where they were when we were throwing artificial chemistry at them.
Wow.
But with nothing going in other than what comes out of the back of a cow.
Is that all basically down to crop rotation, or in conjunction with livestock?
It's a lot of things. We work a little bit with biology, with compost teas and things like that, and we've got a microscope here where we're looking at the biology in the ground, what's living it. The other things are the part of the system. You know this, we were chatting yesterday. A teaspoon of healthy soil has more organisms in it than there are people on the planet.
Really?
You know, and they're not there by accident, they're doing stuff, you know, and they're all playing a part. So that's fine. We work quite hard putting with compost teas, with vermicast, which is worm compost. We use that tactically, so we use that as a seed dressing or as root dressings when we're planting trees. But the really effective thing is our crop rotations, our grazing strategies, our seed strategies, the mix, the way we rest the ground, and the way we use it, and also the way we engage with it, because when you look at a bit of ground, you look at the ground that we can see in front of us, where we've got patches of nettles, we've got patches of rushes, we've got some creeping thistles. Now the nettles, they thrive where there is a lot of excess nutrient in the ground. And so probably what you can see, it's a round patch. That was probably where there was a bale put out for livestock feed. So the
ring feeder system.
The ring feeder system. So the livestock have been around concentrating dung and urine and plodging that area. So you've got nettles. The rushes. Rushes, grey weather's a bit of wet. And again, that's two-thirds of the way down a hill. So that's where that piece of ground will be draining into that ground there. And so you've got rushes. Interestingly, above the rushes, you've got some creeping thistle. Now, traditionally, my father always used to say, creeping thistle has wet feet. And that means that where you've got creeping thistle, at about 8 to 10 inches, you have a water event happening under the soil. So we don't need to put the soil in, we don't need to put the spade in the ground, because the thistles are telling us what's happening under the ground. Now that may well be a spring, it may be a drain, it's just on the forward edge of a slope. And actually probably the fact that you've got water, there's probably a broken drain there, or it might have nettle roots in it. And then the water is then seeping down the hill into the wet patch, which has got rushes in it. So whilst we can't see it on the surface, the ground is telling us by what's living in it. And it's the things that do the job in the ground that the job needs to be done.
Wow, it's incredible. It's but cooler, you've got the microscope here that people have had a look at, and a very, very small sample that you've took and mixed with a bit of water. Is everything in that sample that's in there good?
Some of it. It rather than being good or bad, it reflects what's going on. Where there have been artificial nutrients put on the field, very much that will affect the composition and the feel of the ground. We're seeing quite a lot of, you can see the footprints in the ground, so you can see the aggregates. We talk a lot about soil carbon, but actually we're interested as farmers in what sort of carbon, what the carbon is doing. Is it a, actually you don't need a microscope, you can see good soil when you put a spade in the ground is like chocolate cake. So it's crumbly and it's friable. Less good soil is like chocolate brownie, which is ironic because I'd much rather eat a chocolate brownie than the chocolate cake. But the but then it's soggy, it's dense, the air can't get in. And so, again, you can see that. But when you look at those in the ground, the chocolate brownie type soil is very bacterial normally. Where you've got this lovely friable soil, very often you've got the fungi growing in it.
Yeah.
And these are the microbes which are doing a job in the soil. And working with the plants, when you pick up some of the plants and you look at the roots, where you've got a really good functional soil, and it's a system, it's not just the soil. So the grasses, the green things, can produce sugars from what's in the sky with the sun and the air, carbon dioxide, oxygen, nitrogen, all that sort of thing.
Well, it shows that the world's been around a while, hasn't it?
It does. It's amazing. Yeah. They can produce sugars. What they can't do is tie in the nutrients. Now, the nutrients, if we put them on out of a bag, they're sloshing around for the stuff to suck up. But if we're not putting it out of a bag, the microbes, so the bacteria and the fungi, are going out and converting these into a plant-available form. And they then weld themselves to the roots of the plant. Not all plants, most plants. And that means that you've got a system. So you've got the healthy grass and healthy plants are farming the microbes in the soil. So on most farms, or most healthy farms, where you've got healthy soil, most of the livestock don't have legs. It's the stuff that's under the ground that we don't see and we take for granted. But if we're putting lots of chemistry into the ground, we suppress all that natural life and that capability.
Sort of puts it dormant.
So,
looking around the Isle of Man, final question. Would you like to buy a few acres over here? Is our land that good?
I love this place. I couldn't possibly afford it, and lack the panache and elegance to be allowed to come. But it's a lovely bit of ground, and it's a lovely system. And you know, I drove through the middle. Those lovely valleys and those dales last night. It's a lovely complex system with these lovely tight little fields, lots of scrub, which is really powerful because it's an absolute a reservoir of biology. And all the biology isn't just there being pretty and sounding good, it's doing a job. And actually we can harness that to produce good, healthy, complex food.
So it'd be nice to keep it that way.
I think so.
Tom Fairfax on the island with his microscope, computer, and the interest. And it brings back so many memories for me looking at the... Well, we didn't have microscopes at school when I was there. But, you know, to have the microscope there, the technology now to look into the sample of soil that was taken from the ground and mixed up and, you know, such a tiny sample, you could see so much that was in it, whether it was good or bad. And Tom there explaining, you know, how this natural way can, you know, we need to keep on the farm to save money, basically, isn't it?
Well, this is it. You are seeing people shift away from the artificial fertilisers and chemical sprays for the fact that over the years we've been led to believe that, you know, put more fertiliser, get more growth, but the harm it was doing underneath has left it almost sterile. So to get the manure back in the land and do the mixed rotations is critically important. We've gone full circle almost, haven't we, with the idea of our forefathers who've had the spuds in it or the turnips and then the fallow year. And it's fascinating how it all goes round, but if you look after the soil, it clearly looks after the crop above,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, something that's changed in farm. You don't see many Fison's 2010-10 fertiliser bags stuck on windows of farm buildings now, do you?
You don't, you absolutely don't. But that was changed then. It was technology, yeah, and evolution of farming. So to see it go full circle for some of the old boys, they must have a thing or two to say.
Yeah, but it's, you know, just Tom there mentioned about the importance of just putting cattle on, having this on, and putting the goodness back in the soil, which I suppose in a way makes so much sense, but, you know, everything's done on a calculator these days, isn't it? So that's the tricky bit. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark.
So talking about Northumberland, our young farmers headed over to Northumberland to take part in the Northern Area competitions. Now, it's a very, very broad competition. There's fencing, stock judging, line dancing and much, much more. I caught up with Finn Partington and Candy Taylor on their return home from the Northern Area competitions. Finn had some great news for us. I'm joined by Finn Partington now. Finn, we're here at the clipping competition for the Southern Young Farmers, but that's not what we're going to talk about. It's the successes you guys just had at the Northern Area Young Farmers competitions held in the UK. Now, it was a huge event. We fielded a pretty good team, though, by the sounds of it. A lot went from the Isle of Man.
Yeah, there was, around 50 of the Isle of Man Young Farmers travelled over to Berwick, and Northumberland Young Farmers to compete in a field day and all sorts of events, from, you know, fencing. There was even a line dancing team, tug of war teams, all sorts of different, you know, events. And I think on the whole we were all pretty happy with how we got on.
I did hear there was a bit of a fancy dress where our young Willie Moore donned a few potato bags and went down the catwalk. Now, this cannot be true, surely.
Yeah, Billy put on a good show with his potato bags that he made into some sort of outfit. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at it, but I think he did pretty well with that.
He does like to go to Ann Summers, he was reminding me at the concert, but we'll move swiftly on. But Finn, you were a great team. You were part of the successful fencing team. Now tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so the fencing event is, you've got to erect a 30-metre stock fence, and you're judged on lots of different parts of that fence, you know, on accuracy, you know, and within the components of the fence, it's all about accuracy, safety, you know, and just keeping it all, it's very traditional sort of fencing, it's all hand tools and there's no power tools involved, and it is hard work, but yeah, we managed to, after a lot of practicing and, you know, some good coaching from Dan Creer, we managed this year to get a place ahead and take the win.
That is unbelievable, because those teams across there, they have to qualify to get to those Northern Area competitions. You know, there would have been some excellent fences.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. There was some real good competition. And, the teams that are there, I think they've qualified to get there. And we're sort of, because we're in the Isle of Man and we've not got, you know, there's not abundance of teams that want to, mm-hmm. you know, want to do it, that we're lucky enough, we don't have to qualify to get there. So, but yeah, going there and getting the position we got, we've now qualified for the national finals, which is taking place at Stafford Show on the 4th of July. So that should be good. We got there last year, so we're just hoping to push on and keep getting better. So
Now that is a huge achievement. And the team, is it the same bunch of lads as last year?
Yeah, Northern Area team was the same as last year's Northern Area team and the team that went to the finals. But yeah, we're going to have a little bit of change for the finals because we've got one member who can't make it. So, but yeah, we'll get there and see how we get on. But yeah, it was good.
And that said, Finn, like livestock fencing, you think it's a lot of hard work, like you say, but it's so critically important to livestock keeping here on the island.
Oh yeah, very important. You know, no one wants their sheep out on the road. No one wants their sheep in with their neighbours for, you know, all sorts of reasons with it, you know. So it's one of them. It would be good to get more people involved over here within the, you know, the competition as opposed to just livestock fencing for a job. If we could have a bit of like a local qualifier to maybe get to the Northern Areas at our field day, that would be great. So maybe we could push to, you know, to do a bit more of that.
And is it hard work?
Oh, it's we're going off like bull in a china shop when we get going. It's the boys are busy. So we've got to dig three holes to put the strainer posts in. They're about 54 inches deep, and they're about 12 inch in diameter. So that takes a bit of doing with a shovel and three of us.
And what was the ground like in Northumberland?
We were very lucky in Northumberland. The ground was very heavy soil. It was there was no stones in sight, not like we're used to where we're practicing and at the fun barn there in Laxey. So that's you never know what you're getting when you start digging there. But no, holes were dug very quick, and we were lucky it allowed us enough time once the holes were dug to really focus on the rest of it without worrying too much about the clock, because we're only allocated a certain amount of time to, you know, to meet the strict specification that we are to follow, because unlike most fencing, it's almost just following the specification and getting it absolutely perfect so when the judge goes around measuring it at the end and checking all the different, you know, different knots and stuff we've done and struts and braces, that it is exactly how it says on the specification.
That is absolutely crazy, because obviously you're using barbed wire fencing, plain wire fencing. You've got to tie them off. Like, this is metal you're having to twist up. It's not, you know, it's not easy on your hands.
Yeah, no, it's you get used to it. You get used to the little techniques, and we're very, very lucky that we've had Dan Creer coaching us, sort of working alongside us with the competition. He came away with us, and he's been a really, really good help. Not only, you know, encouraging us with the different aspects of the fence, but he's been a real good motivator, getting us to practices and making sure that we, you know, absolutely beasting us, really, making sure that we do put the effort in, and we got the goal we wanted after, you know, a lot of help from him and a lot of other people as well, and Andrew Clegg for letting us practice at his. It's a central location for all of us, and it's worked really well this year, so hopefully keeps going to plan.
And the boys in your team, we must give them a mention. Do they have certain jobs within the fencing competition to do?
Oh yeah, we've all got our own jobs. We've got Lee Quayle, he's busy on the struts, doing the box strut there and tightening the wire and all that jazz. And Nick Harvey's busy at the other side. We leave Nick to himself to dig a hole, and he does the angled strut with the breast block on the bottom, and I just mess around with some wire once I've dug my hole, do a few knots and tension it, and no, it's good. It all just came together on the day, and hopefully going to the finals and even next year's Northern Area, we can just keep pushing, and yeah, we're hungry for victory, really.
And is it something you would take up as a career? Like, does it interest you in that way?
Oh, I quite like the competition, but not too fond of fencing at home. It's a bit different.
Well, I suppose at Bolgene, you're up pretty high in the hills of Laxey there.
Yeah, you're not long finding stones up there, so it's not as fun up there. And I think it's half the team side of it, you know, with the three of us working together, and we're all best mates. We're all in the Eastern Club, and we've been in the Eastern Club since we were started doing the concert. And I think it's great that the three of us have stuck together, doing sketches in the concert, doing stock judging, you know, all sorts. We've field days, longboats, we've always stuck together, and now we're doing the fencing together. I just think it's brilliant that three sort of best friends can keep pushing.
Sort of sounds like a bit like The Hangover, this, doesn't it?
Oh, there was a hangover after the fencing, I tell you that. Yeah.
No, well, massive congratulations, Finn. And how have you got on in the clipping tonight? Any idea?
Oh, I got second. Yeah, wanted to push for first again, but, you know, it is what it is. I've not done much clipping this year, so.
Well, and that's the thing, you're a busy, you know, it's busy farm life this time of year. There's a lot of work on at home.
Oh, yeah, we're snowed under at the moment, just with the weather. The weather's not really played ball for shearing sheep and getting on with bits, but we've got plenty of grass cut and salvage done, and plenty to keep us busy going forward. So
yeah, well, good luck and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Kitty.
The final goes well.
Thank you.
And now I'm joined by Candy Taylor. Well, another success at the Northern Area, Candy. We just spoke to Finn about his fencing. They got first place, the Young Farmers dancing team. Now, that's quite new to the whole Isle of Man structure. We don't normally have dancers go to Northern Area. And to come away with second place, that's amazing. So where did the idea come from?
So this year, Northern Area decided to do it as Western theme, and they must have decided to add in line dancing. And because of the success of the Southern Young Farmers at the concert, we decided to enter a Southern Girls team.
Ah, so what did it consist of? Did you get given a song piece you had to learn, or was it on the hoof?
So we ended up having a coach. We had one session with him, and he taught us four different dances. And then we just picked a song and then kind of combined them to make the dance.
So you had lots of different songs pulled together.
So we had one song that we chose to do the dance with, but we pulled the different moves from those dances into one dance.
Wow, that sounds energetic. So what did it take? How many weeks of practice? Or was it just the day before? What did you decide?
We didn't actually give ourselves that long to practice. I want to say it was about 6-ish weeks. We were very last minute, but I mean, we ended up pulling it off. That's fine.
That is successful. So second out of how many?
I want to say it was between 10 and 8, I think.
That is really, really good. And how was it as a team?
It was very good. We had very high morale because we had to. We had to practice. We had to put in the work. Otherwise, we would have looked not great on stage. And we, like usual, pulled it off.
That is so good. And the outfits, obviously, Western. Did you have your cowboy hats on?
We did have our cowboy hats on. Although one of us did lose it twice on stage, but it's fine. It worked out fine. We still got second.
What was the competition like? Were they professional?
They were amazing. Honestly, we were quite surprised to get second because some of the other competitors were amazing. Absolutely fantastic. So very chuffed to get second amongst all that.
And did you enjoy the Northern Area experience as a young farmer?
I did. I've never been before, so it was very new to me. But everyone was really nice to each other. All the different farmers from the different counties were all great, and it was really good.
And was it a huge event?
It was very big. I didn't think it'd be that big, but it was very good. And there were lots of different categories. So there is something for everyone. It's very inclusive.
And next year, any new ideas?
I don't know. It depends if they theme it and if they do dancing again. And also how far it was, because it was a 3-hour journey there. So quite far.
So far in our small Isle of Man.
Yes. Very tiring. Taxing.
Was there any other areas that you said there's lots of categories for everyone to get involved in? Was there anything else that you thought you may be interested in for again?
There's quite a lot of things. There was funny things, like the rodeo bull was quite funny, and the modelling, which Billy Moore, I have to do a shout out to him, looked fantastic. But then they did have serious stuff like the stock judging, so if you wanted to get into that, it would be something to have a go at as well.
I think everybody had a great time by the sounds of it. And was there a good party?
We ended up going out in Newcastle afterwards, which was an experience. But everyone had a great time, high morale, and everyone got on really well, which is really good.
There we go. That was Finn Partington talking about his first place in the fencing team competition alongside Nick Harvey and Lee Quayle. And also I spoke to Candy Taylor regarding the second place in the line dancing. Also that evening, I spoke to Caesar Kermit, who is the chairman of the Southern Young Farmers, on the return of the Southern Young Farmers sheep shearing and the judge, Pip Kermode.
We just had a chat about the Northern Area trip, which sounded very successful with the fencer coming away with first place and the dancers coming away with second. I believe you took part in some of the older traditional events, the stock judging.
Yes, I went away with a good group of people, about 50 of us. Thanks very much to Bryony and the committee of the Federation for organising that. That was absolutely brilliant. But I took part in the breeding new stock judging, which turned out to be 2 sheer tups to judge. That sort
it's
of threw
breeding.
Me. Yeah, the other side of breeding. But no, it was good. It was very good. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And a lot of learning curves, I'd certainly say. And I'd like to come back next year and do it all again.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, talking about coming back, now the Southern Young Farmers are here tonight doing the sheep shearing. Now, I do believe it hasn't been held by the Southern Club for a number of years.
No, you're right there, Kerry. It's been at least 20 years from what I've been hearing from like Zoe and the previous generations of secretaries. But it's good to get it back. And I think
from the numbers in the novice class, particularly about 13 people taking part, it was lovely to see. But we had the novice, we had the open, the Bowen, and then we had the wool wrapping competition, which I thought was quite good. Hats off to Rachel Eben and Thomas Ratliff getting involved and trying the old wool wrapping. It's not for everyone, and a lot of shearers don't usually enjoy wrapping their wool, so it was good to see them do this.
And that's it. There was a number of sheep in here tonight. There must have been 70, 80 odd sheep, and they managed to get through all of them, which was a great credit to them. You know, some of them are just beginners. They're trying their hand at it, but it's an important part of farming life.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the fellows that came along said maybe we should have a proper beginners class where someone actually stands with them and shows them from start to finish how to do it, rather than a proper competition. So we'll have a look at that later and see if we can do something next year with that. But it's good to see people trying to get back involved in it, and we can hopefully grow it a bit more.
And that said, I'm sure lots of people would have certainly enjoyed the cakes and the tea that was put on tonight.
Oh, absolutely. The Southern Young Farmers are quite popular for their food spreads. It's so no wonder I'm this size. No, they're all very good at it, and they're more than willing to get stuck in, and there's no trouble at all. I gave them a day's notice, and there was cakes and sandwiches and all sorts there, and it was just a good little community, and it's great to be able to rely on them.
Well, thank you, Caesar. We'll move over on to Pip now. Pip, you were the judge for the night. Obviously, you've been around the block a little bit with sheep shearing, not only up here in Britain, but also in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, Caesar was saying it's been absent from the Southern Young Farmers calendar for a number of years. Was it a good night tonight?
Excellent night. Really good. Lovely to see the youngsters. They're really keen. They're that keen that they got the best gear I've ever seen, I think, compared to mine. And they're dressed appropriate gear. Some of them look a bit better than others. But, yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They're all keen to have a go, and they're wanting to learn. And yeah, if the Southern Young Farmers can put something more together to train these youngsters, yeah, bring it on.
And what was it like to judge? Caesar mentioned there was, you know, sort of 13, 14 young ones in the novice class. Obviously, they've all had to be held singly for you to judge. What were you looking for in them?
Well, the youngsters hadn't seen big classes before and had never been in big classes. They were a credit to them. They really were. There was cuts they were trying to hide. I seen them, right? but minor cuts. I mean, something, you know, everyday stuff. It just doesn't do any harm to anything. In fact, I saw one fellow who had more cut on his hands than on the sheep. But anyway, they learn, and they'll come back, and they'll be better people for it.
And Caesar was saying not all shearers like to wrap their own wool. Is this true?
Yes, wrapping is a thing of the past in my mind. But the ladies do the best. They are way ahead, and us fellas think we're too good. And really, truth is, we're not good enough.
But it's good to see that the young farmers are getting stuck into it. Caesar touched on how important it is to keep the skills alive, but it's important to everyday farm life.
Oh yeah, everyday farm life, because if we don't get the shearing done, we're absolutely snookered. Absolutely, because the blowfly will be in, and we've got to get that and keep that. It shouldn't never been let to go. The youngsters are there. You just want to nurture them on and bring it in and keep them going and encourage more than discourage.
There we go. That was Caesar Kermode, the chairman of the Southern Young Farmers, and Pip Kermode, the judge for the sheep shearing on the night.
And it's still great, you know. I mean, I know it involves yourselves, but there's a lot of farmers over many years here that have helped the young farmers to hold these competitions, because it can be a bit of a hindrance, but for the majority of them get involved and are glad to help in any way they can.
For sure, that is it. And I was cursing Caesar on the run up to it. Our sheep aren't quite ready for it. You know, it's been a bit of a later year for us. But anyway, all the while, it's such an important skill to learn. And to see them, the turnout was unbelievable. I remember having the opportunity to go up to Jeff Sutcliffe's there up in Ronig, and also to the Watson's Farm in Scarlet when we were younger to learn the sheep shearing. And, you know, they were great events. And now to see the competitors then, Wendy Masson, she's married since, and Trish Gellin taking
taking part in the hand clipping, and they were there the other night in support of the next generation. So it is so important that these events are put on. But I think they had a good enough time, really.
I think so too. I'll have to dig out that audio of me shearing the sheep with Richie Creer.
Oh,
that was an education.
Is it audible though?
Oh yes, just about. Yeah, it took a bit of editing the time, but yeah, it was great fun doing that. And it is a tricky art to master. And before that, quite interesting thinking about the young farmers there. You know, some of the listeners be thinking, wow, you know, are they allowed loose with swords? Not that sort of fence, and obviously, and we've had a great run of success in previous years in the fencing teams and at the you know, the level that is in the UK.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Like Finn said there, you know, some of these people are professional fencers. They go out day in, day out as a team, fencing, livestock fencing, garden fencing, whatever it is, they're doing it. But these lads are welders, you know, Finn's a fireman. It's amazing how they can come together. It's not their everyday skill, but can put on such a good effort to come first. We wish them all the luck in the finals next week. Let's hope they just get that number one spot they've been after for a few years.
Yeah, just to reiterate, they're in the fencing, not the line dancing, aren't they? Anyway, we'll leave it there. That's it for this week's Countryside. We're back next week with more. So until then, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kiri Gurmud.
We'll see you then.
Ta-da. Bye-bye.